anointed eye, the spiritual, is always reflected in the natural. And you will look at the natural world and you will see the power and the glory of God. Unless you're an atheist or something like that. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender. And in the Book of the Unveiling, we are seeing enacted upon the earth spiritual manifestations. There's always a harmony between the heavens and the earth, again, to the anointed eye. For instance, the sun rising and the sun setting talked about the sun, the big miraculous hydrogen ball. There's a correspondence between that and the love of God, the sunshine. But when the sunshine goes away and when the sun is darkened, then we see God's anger descending upon the earth. And many today, you have a hard time believing this. I know you have a hard time believing that God could be upset because we've lived in this time where God is conciliated to the world. And again, I will keep saying this, he continues to be conciliated to the world. But that aspect is on the back burner. It's still the umbrella under which everything is taking place. But again, it's a wake-up call. So the big question is, again, literal or figurative. For instance, I am asked, maybe you're asked, is the new earth literal or figurative? Many would say, we're looking way ahead in the Book of the Unveiling here, but for the purpose of illustration, we have a new heavens and a new earth. Is that literal, or is it just a way of saying that there's a new spiritual reality, that a new spiritual reality has come where God once again dwells with humanity? Here's the answer. It's both. I have the luxury, and now you have the luxury with me, of being able to believe both things, of seeing that there is a literal and a spiritual fulfillment, that God's activities in the heavens are reflected in his creations, and the new earth is an expression of God. It's going back to Eden. He wants to dwell again with humanity without the intermediary of priesthood. And we have that. We anticipate that, and we have it in spirit now. But it's not going to be literally upon the earth until there is a new earth. And so you can see that we have the luxury of both things. So there's an upheaval of spiritual forces. The entire Book of the Unveiling, we're seeing an upheaval of spiritual forces. But at first, this is only seen in the earth. With the first four seals, we're seeing upheaval on the earth. But now with the opening of the sixth seal, we are seeing the results of a coming heavenly reality. And here's what it is. Jesus Christ is now preparing to come to earth. And in light of that truth, we are seeing the stars of the heavens fall to earth. Remember, the first four seals only deals with the earth. We have the war. Well, we have the conquering one. We have the war. We have famine and pestilence and plague. And four speaks of the earth. I don't know if you ever knew this, but numbers are significant. Read Dr. Bullinger's book, Number in Scripture. Very good. Four speaks of the earth, and not coincidentally, the first four seals touch the earth. Because we have the four. Why is four earth? Well, you have the phrase, the four corners of the earth. We have the four directions of the compass. We have four parts of the day. Morning, noon, evening, and night. There are four seasons. So four is just overladen with earthly truth. Now, this is in, I'm looking in the book now, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, and I don't understand because I always thought five spoke of grace. But here, A. E. Nock says five speaks of weakness and fitly stands for the Semitic persecutions of the fifth seal. I'm a little shaky on that. I'm not sure that's true. Why I always thought five had to do with grace. For one thing, the Holy of Holies is a perfect square. I believe it's five cubits all around, so five. There are many, the construction of the tabernacle contains lots of fives. So weakness, I don't know. I'm going to be up in the air on this. But six for sure. Six suggests, and we're in the sixth seal. You catching my drift so far? first four seals have to do with earth, and number four definitely has to do with earth. That's the spiritual significance of the number four. The spiritual significance doesn't eliminate the literal existence of a number four. So, likewise, the number six. So now we're seeing the height of human arrogance. Six speaks of man. That's everybody knows that, right? 666, the number of the beast. That's not the mark of the beast. That's the number of the beast. There's either the name, the mark, or the number that you can take. Ladies and gentlemen, make your choice. Take the name, the number, or the mark of the beast. The number is 666. Nobody's going to take that because it's too obvious. But this is the height of man. In 6 days, God created everything on earth, and the last creation was man. Six is the epitome of man. 666 is everything humanity can do. So the man of lawlessness is going to enter the temple and declare that he is God. This is the height of human arrogance. And I believe that this dovetails, corresponds with the shaking of the heavens and the earth, because now we see a convulsion in the heavens. It's always a convulsion in the heavens, but we see it reflected on earth in the first four seals. But now we have one who is coming, one who is even nearer to coming now. And so to reflect that truth, that he is soon going to be manifest in the heavens, and every eye will behold him in the heavens, and he will come with thunder and lightnings, which reflect a heavenly disturbance. We are now seeing in the sixth seal disturbances of the sun and the moon. And I repeat this again, for those of you who missed it, the unveiling 6:12, and I perceived when it opens the sixth seal, that is, the Lamb opens the sixth seal, and a great cataclysm occurred, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the whole moon became as blood. This is the first time we're hearing of celestial bodies. And the stars of heaven fall on the earth as a fig tree is casting its shriveled figs, quaking under a great wind, and heaven recoils as a scroll being rolled up. That's a perfect, to me, a perfect description of thunder. Heaven recoils. Don't you feel that when you have a gigantic burst of thunder? Heaven just like, and it does recoil. I mean, I think if you could see the air moving, it's the lightning is so hot that the air travels beyond the speed of sound. The air retreats, the hot air moves so fast from the lightning that it breaks the speed of sound, and it's a sonic boom. And heaven is recoiling. I think that if you actually could see those air molecules, they would be seeing as though a scroll rolling up. And because of these heavenly things, the kings are vexed. So six is a number of human arrogance. And it is this that is, relatively speaking, forcing God, forcing Christ now to come to earth to undo it. But again, Christ is setting all this up, be reminded. This whole enactment in the unveiling is a stage that is set up by Christ. He knows what's going to happen. Oh, how lucky for Christ that all of these things are working out. It's a good thing that man of lawlessness entered the sanctuary so that Christ would have an opportunity to combat it with his presence, with his coming to the true sanctuary. No, it's not like that. These things are purposely being set up by him. So the sixth seal is a physical aspect of a spiritual conflict. We're seeing a physical manifestation in the heavens, stars falling, sun black and moon darkened, of a spiritual conflict, which is occurring at the same time that the man of lawlessness enters the sanctuary. Remember I told you that when the scroll is handed to the lambkin, there's a convulsion with all the creatures of earth and heaven, and there will be some, I believe, visible manifestation on the earth with the reaction of the creatures happening simultaneously, that something has just happened in the heavens. Likewise here. Likewise here. And I said that the cry of the saints for vengeance initiated the sixth opening of the sixth seal to begin with. The cry of the saints for vengeance. And so when you see the stars falling from heaven, when you see these signs in the heavens, inordinate thunder, crazy stuff, you're going to know that it corresponds to God reckoning the blood of the martyrs and bringing vengeance, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And tomorrow, I believe, we're going to look at these stars falling from heaven. And again, it's the beginning of the suggestion that another one is going to come to heaven, from heaven. It's almost as if these celestial bodies that are falling to earth in appalling numbers are a suggestion that the one will be coming to earth. It's almost like he's sending his messengers before him to prepare the way, so that before now, people did not look up. Follow me here. Before this, with the breaking of the first four seals, four being the number of earth, nobody looked up. Everything was happening ground level. War, ground. Famine, war, on the ground. Plague. It's all inflicting the inhabitants of the earth. But now with a sixth seal, for the first time, people are looking up because weird stuff is happening in the heavens. And that's where God wants them to look, because from heaven will come the one who will bring finally righteous government to this earth. But he does not come without great signs and great wonders and, if you will, miracles in the sky. And so for the first time, the inhabitants of the earth are considering the heavens in a new way. We do that now. We have the blessedness of being able to look at the heavens in days of peace and seeing his hand, the constellations, the marvelous miracle of the sun. The moon hangs in midair, and we see the glory and the power of God in his creation. We don't need thunder and lightning, although it's quite impressive. But the world does need it. And for the first time, the world and its inhabitants are going to consider heaven, and they're going to raise their heads at these appalling judgments coming from heaven to prepare them for the righteous one and finally a righteous reign upon the earth.